And welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today,
back
at it again with the pop culture breaking news. We don't have any breaking news, but we are going to be commenting on what was once breaking news.
I was about to make a joke we can't make yet.
And that's what we call a teaser. Guys, I'm also going to tease over the weekend, we recorded a really fun Pretty Little Punch Bowl.
I was laughing. Episode. Sorry it was a little late, y'all. I had a busy weekend.
It's okay.
But it's up now, and it was I tried something out with the editing. Tell me what you think.
I haven't watched it yet. Can you give me a hint? And next time, hey, don't ever do that again.
I was just playing around with some features on here.
I was just playing around with some effects, like making Caroline look like the devil. Or making Caroline look like she hasn't slept in weeks.
No.
Guys, if you think I look bad in the video, that is something new Phoebe tried. Okay? So that's not actually me or what I look like. It is actually something new that Phoebe tried.
No, I realized that there's a feature on here where, like, if one of us is speaking for a long time and, like, I'm, like, taking a sip of Diet Coke, it can just show you or vice versa.
Yeah. You just learned I should have taught you about that because
I only edit the Patreon in here, so I haven't really had a use for it otherwise.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
One time I was trying to do that because there was like one clip of me where I looked like actually like monstrous, and I was like, I can't have this. So I exported the entire thing into iMovie so I could edit it. I could take that clip of myself out.
Well, this should prove much easier. I'll say when I'm doing like our little clips for social media, there might be a moment where I'm speaking and I want us both on the screen, but like you pick your nose. So then it's like, okay, it'll just be me, and then we'll bring Phoebe back in when she's done. You know what I mean? Or like the worst is, well, you hate when I talk about you. You hate when I talk about you.
I hate when you tell lies about me. Sure.
What? Well, that wasn't a lie.
That is a lie.
You picking your nose while recording, sometimes it happens. It's actually not a lie. Guys, this is not a joke. Yes. Sometimes, okay.
Wait,
maybe your finger isn't like all the way up there, but sometimes, yeah, you're like scratching your nose and shit.
Okay. I take it out
because I'm being really nice.
Scratching my nose.
Doing that is nice
so
of
different.
Me.
Well, that's what I do when you know, this.
When I what?
When you do your sniffles or your coughs.
Wow.
Or your anism, I like to call it.
Which is?
You know how when Anne tells a story, she does her teacher?
Phoebe hates how I smack my lips. Like that. She doesn't like it.
And before she starts a thought.
Well, anywho. The Pretty Little Punch Bowl episode that we put up on the Patreon for tier two was really fun because we actually, I don't know if you guys have heard about the Hollywood Reporter article that came out interviewing the girls, which Phoebe has forbidden me from reading.
I thought this was a bit. I thought you were like, I don't know if you guys have seen the Hollywood Reporter article that came out about what we've recently signed on to, which is a new reboot of Pretty Little Liars set to air in 20 years.
Well, in so many words, we kind of have, okay? Because in the Hollywood Reporter article, they said they would like to open the door for like a movie or a limited series kind of thing. And we went ahead. I know my girls were probably like, I want to be in it. And it's like, your time has come and gone.
Right.
We actually recast. So we cast if there were a Pretty Little Liars movie today.
We did like a reboot of the show that started from the beginning and we just redid the whole thing, but we kind of got to take our own, like, for example, the fact that we weren't scared of admitting what happened between Melissa and Emily, we kind of, we're like, well, our casting's going to reflect that we're not scared of that.
Of course, and if you are like scratching your head, like what the heck happened between Emily and Melissa, then you need to go join the Patreon and listen to our Punch Bowl from I think last month or 2 months ago, where we really went deep. Like we really laid it out for you guys. Here's what happened between Emily Fields and Melissa Hastings. So you can go listen to that too. But if you want to hear our movie casting, which I think Chef's Kiss, we killed it. And you guys can let us know your thoughts. Because for some of them, you know, we haven't done auditions yet. This is our short list. We said we haven't done chemistry testing, nothing like that. So let us know what you guys think. Or if we missed anybody that we should have come in and read, like, I'm definitely open to it. I probably won't do it just because you say so. But, like, I'll definitely consider it.
Exactly. It was a good
one. So go check that out. That is a good one. And I also want to let you guys know next week, the week of the 4th of July, which is famously my dog Chuck's birthday, and baptism, we are taking off. But if you guys are really lucky, we might release a Pretty Little Punchbowl episode from the Patreon. Probably not the Emily and Melissa lore one, because that one's kind of classified. But that
exactly
is on there. If you want to hear it, you can go to the Patreon.
We signed a contract. We can only give as much. We can only give a certain amount of classified information a month.
Right.
And exactly. Last week during the Pretty Little Liars episode,
we let it rip.
We went over. We kind of went over.
And we're being fined. We're actually being fined for it. But
you're welcome.
We're taking it on the chin. You're welcome.
We're doing real journalism.
We're not even crowdfunding for it. We're taking the fine, and yeah. We said, okay, we're just going to take a week off. So we are taking off the week of Chuck's birthday, July 4th. So you're not going to hear from us next week. So you need to really savor this episode and the episode on Thursday and the episode to get on the Patreon. Okay?
There.
Okay? So there. Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive into it. How are you? How was your busy weekend? Any riveting stories to share with us?
Riveting stories. No, but Maddie Bartone finally made her way to Smashville. Can't believe
finally.
It. And historic. This is how I know she's in a very happy, lovely relationship now. Very happy for her. But it is funny because like Mimi met Maddie, and Maddie. Mm-hmm.
God, what a meeting of the minds that must have been.
Maddie and Mimi's mind is very specific to the stories I've told about Maddie.
Right, of course.
And Maddie's a wild card. Maddie's a unit at a certain point in a night out. Like, she goes hard. This is not the Maddie that Mimi met. And the day after, Mimi was like, I really liked her. I just, like, that's not what I was expecting at all. I was like, okay, so you're
like, well, you're
a
meeting
liar.
The wifed up version of yeah. Maddie, okay? Like,
yeah, yeah. Lucky you, I guess. But I mean, also unlucky you.
Unlucky you, because it's an experience.
It is, and everybody should get to experience one night with Baddie Martone.
With Baddie.
That's what she was called in college. But we went to Party Foul. They said it was one thing that is so great is that Party Foul is such a good go-to. Anytime I think someone's not gonna like it, I realize it's only because I have it so much.
There's no chance no one's gonna like it. Guys, if you don't know what Party Foul is, it's Phoebe's favorite hot chicken in Nashville. So if you're going to Nashville, you've got to put that on the list.
It's so good. It's a sit down, which I really like. Like Hattie B's and Prince's, it's fine, but I like a sit down restaurant.
I do too. I'm not always in the mood for like a casual dining experience.
No.
Sorry. I'm not a casual kind of bitch.
Exactly. And I've always said that.
And Phoebe has always said that she is not a casual kind of bitch.
Look at me.
Look at her. She's in a ball gown. And I was going to ask about it, but
it's none of your business.
We're done recording. Right.
If you're going to go to Prince's or Hattie B's, go to Prince's. It's the original. But if you want a sit down experience, it's great hot chicken, good drinks. It's not very expensive. And I don't think any of Maddie's friends listen to this podcast, so I can say this. On Friday, they made the determination that they wanted to go eat on Broadway, which, in case you're unfamiliar with the area, is an insane thing to do.
It's not and really also, the place to eat. Broadway is truly,
especially
it's not the big bad Broadway like New York, okay? This is the party street.
Especially when you haven't left. It's 7:30 and you're making this decision and you haven't left your house yet.
Yeah.
And like, you live 15 minutes away and it's a Friday. Like, I just miserable. And this was going to be my first time meeting these people. And I was just like, Phoebe's like,
we're doing this on my terms, on my turf. Okay.
In my head, Maddie and I discussed, we were going to go to Party Foul, get hot chicken, which is, by the way, something you do when you visit Nashville, even if you don't really think you like it, you've never had it. So get out of here. And, they're like, no, we're going to go to Broadway. And then, I was like, ooh, my first time being around all of you can't be that you guys have been getting drunk on a boat all day. I'm completely sober and have worked a 9-to-5, and now I'm getting into this night already on Broadway with you guys. I was gonna ease into the night by going to Party Foul, eating dinner, getting a little buzz at dinner, and then going to Broadway.
So what I'm hearing is the people who are visiting Nashville didn't want to do exactly what you wanted to do, and you threw a little bit of a fit.
Yeah.
No, well, that's what he's like, bingo.
That's what I thought I did. And I was like, Maddie, Andrew, I need you to know that, like, it wasn't that. Like, it's not. It was just that, like, I'll hang out with you guys tomorrow. I just needed. it was going to be way too overstimulating for me to, I would have been, I know I would have been acting like a bitch all night and I didn't want
to. What else is new? Well, Fee, Maddie probably expected that. The same way you talked up Maddie to Mimi and you're like, here's what to expect. Maddie was talking to her friends and her boyfriend. She was like, here's what to expect. Massive biatch. Okay. One thing to know about Phoebe K. Massive biatch. All right. Comes by it, honestly. Her older sister is so nice. So that is where it gets confusing to me. Because her older sister is, like, so nice. She's, like, family.
Well, it's, like, you meet the rest of the family, and it's, Phoebe's like, Lily and Caroline, like, are literally such dreams.
They're so nice. They're, like, dreams to talk to. It's, like, never a dull moment. Never a moment where you feel uncomfortable at all. Like, you are like, I feel, okay, we're all family here. And then Phoebe comes in, and you're, like, did a chill just come over the entire room? Is there a ghost in here? Is there a supernatural entity in the room? Because I feel a chill down in my bones. And it's, like, no, it's just... Phoebe's body temperature is like 30 degrees. We've tried to figure it out. We don't know. Okay. Your guess is as good as ours. And yes, we ask everybody who visits the house to put their guess in this little jar as they walk out. Why do you think Phoebe's internal temperature is 30 degrees Fahrenheit? And Maddie wrote, because she's a frigid bitch. So just so you guys know, that's how Maddie talked about Phoebe to her friends. And Phoebe was like, you got to meet Baddie. And I think Maddie's friends got what they came for. And your friends maybe didn't. Maybe met a different version of Maddie.
Mimi kills me. Mimi goes, I just can't wait for your mom to get here. And I was like, I know. Because as soon as Georgia and Mimi get together,
there's nobody else in the room.
Pretty girl, let's hate on her. It's pretty girl, let's hate on her. It's let's talk about everything Phoebe.
Wow. Well, get me in there. They just gang up can't wait for this experience. Because what will I do? Guys, take votes. Will I have Phoebe's back or will I bury her 6 feet under? I don't know.
I have a prediction.
Good.
Anyway, so that's my update. My weekend was great. It wasn't anything like too crazy, but just crazy enough. I went to Chili's on Saturday with Mimi.
Nice.
Pretty good.
Pretty cool. Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. Well, there's a freaking heat advisory here in Pittsburgh and like half the country, I believe.
Same here.
And it is hot. It is HOT. Okay. I am melting a little bit. So I can't wait to get to Nashville where it's probably going to be 10 degrees worse.
Yeah, what's the temperature in Pittsburgh right now?
Like 95 degrees.
Like, it actually might be hotter there. It's 92.
Yeah, 95. Anywho.
It's actually not going to be that bad this weekend.
Good.
90s, but not anything crazy.
That's what I like to hear. Well, we've got a lot of culture to get into, to discuss. We have a lot of reality TV to discuss. So let's start with some of the culture. And I do want to start by discussing this Pretty Little Liars interview. It is taking the internet by storm. I have not read it, but I have read quotes.
I told her she's not allowed.
I'm like so confused. I am so confused by Sasha, by Lucy, standing by this love story in the year 2025. What do you mean? And I'm sorry, Sasha Petersa, love you. But what are you doing saying in so many ways it was Aria's bad? Because I did read that whole quote. No, let's be clear. Even if we were to conveniently forget that Ezra knew Arya's age when he met her at the bar because he was already doing research and stalking them to write a book on her friend who he was already inappropriately involved with. Even if we conveniently forget that, the day that she walked into his classroom should have been the day that ended. Like, they met at the bar. Okay, sure. You know, they both, he didn't know, she lied, whatever. Yeah, maybe that. You can put it's on okay Arya if he you walked want
out of that.
To.
If he walked out of the bar that day thinking this girl is at least 21 and also isn't a vegetarian, that is Arya's
that
bad.
That is Arya's bad. If you go into your high school English classroom the next day and see the girl that you thought was at least 21 and a vegetarian, that's actually now that becomes your bad. That becomes your bad as the teacher and as the adult in the relationship. And at that point, there's such a power imbalance that nothing Arya does, like, it's not like she was like the school siren, like that low-key was Allison De Laurentiis. Like Arya wasn't doing that to like, I don't know. It's not like she was like walking in her come fuck me heels trying to like entice the teacher. Like she just happened to have already met him. It is not her bad that they ended up in this fucking relationship. And I think it's very dangerous rhetoric.
Even if she had walked in her fuck me heels, I think she's probably referencing those scenes where Arya is constantly coming back to the classroom. But it's like that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like he's the adult.
Well, exactly.
Obviously, like, he's like an attractive adult who Arya already thinks she's so wise beyond her years. Like,
I know a million high school students who would do the same shit if they were in that situation. The difference is there are two people in the relationship, and one of them is a literal adult, is in a position of power, knows better, is required to set that very clear boundary if the student is trying to push something. Like, mm-hmm. Switch her to a different classroom. There were a million things that could have happened. So I do think, like, as much as I understand that, yeah, they were not going to be able to do away with that storyline because of the way people clamored for Ezria, I get that. We don't need to be defending it now. You know, you can say that and be like, look, we loved it for what it was. Also, but like,
Sasha,
now,
why are you defending it?
Well, and then I was alerted, and I did not know this. But you know how Demi from Mormon Wives has like this weird thing with her husband, Brad, how he met her when she was 9 years old?
Oh, yeah. Are you going to bring up Sasha's husband?
Yeah. I mean, it's come out.
And I think he worked on the show, didn't he?
I'm not sure, but he met her apparently when she was like 8. And they started dating when she was like 16. And he was in his late 20s. So I just think that like maybe that's the lens that she's viewing this through.
Yeah, maybe.
And I don't want to get too into that, but I do think it's crazy that they are. And are they just scared of Marlene? Like, I don't get it.
I don't know, because even she was like, she had the most mild response to it. She was like, we kept the relationship around because that's what the fans wanted. And like at a certain point, it's like, it was a different time. Like, yeah. And it's like, I don't know. There's also part of you that's like, I understand that it's a teen show. Mm-hmm. It's a teen targeted. It's a show targeted to teens. So that's part of the problem.
Yes.
But there is, I think Marlene always kind of saw what they were doing as a little higher brow than maybe people thought it was. And so I think she's also looking at it from a way of like, well, TV is how we explore these like forbidden.
Yeah. If you're on the CW fantasies. Or Max, like that's the other thing is like if this had been a show targeted towards adults, they could have explored the storyline in a different way. What we don't need to be doing is encouraging teenage girls to see themselves as Arya and romanticize having a relationship with an adult English teacher.
Sasha also says something about how someone came up to her and said that she ended up with her teacher.
And that Sasha was like, oh, no. And it's like, why are we mentioning that in this interview? Why are we mentioning that in the line after you say that it was Arya's bad?
I'm also dead with like, I know Marlene's open to a reboot. And I'm sure she is. I'm sure there are plenty of cast members
who are
open to the idea as
work. Yeah.
But I do think it's funny that Shay Mitchell just seems like so clearly she's like plugged out of
Well,
this.
I wouldn't
like
know again because I didn't read it. So what are you mentioning?
But there's part of it where they're talking about how in the universe of the perfectionist, like the continued universe of Pretty Little Liars, Allie and Emily are divorced. Mm. And Emily goes, yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that is where.
No way. Like, yeah. Wait, that's crazy. How do you not know that?
I think maybe she meant she didn't like she found out maybe not this recently, but like she found out.
She finds out in the interview. Everyone's like, can you scratch that from the record? It does not make us look good as a group.
But yeah, they all said that they regretted making that choice. And I'm like, well, yeah. But Marlene was like, yeah, Shay wasn't interested in continuing, but we had to like figure out what to do.
Oh my God, I'm dead. Well, I also thought it was weird, just from what I hear, there was not a lot of mention of Sarah Shepard at all. And I think it's kind of strange Sarah Shepard was not included in this. The 15-year
she created the universe.
The 15-year anniversary of the universe she created and then allowed you to enhance, you know, like... Her name is in every single episode of the show. These are her characters. This is her world. How are you not going to invite her, include a quote from her, mention her that much? Like, I don't know. I just thought that was strange.
And we're pretty defensive.
And we're defensive of our girl Sarah.
Of Miss Shepherd.
Yeah. Hello. And they didn't. And okay, I'll throw this in there too. We did not get a call.
They hate Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. Hate where your show's literally based. But that's fine. That's fine. If you guys want to Mount Lebanon Erasure.
Always.
Right? Oh my God.
That's a big problem in Mount Lebanon.
Big problem in Mount Lebanon.
Erasure.
Mount Lebanon. Anyway, I do think it would be very fun if they were to do some sort of a reboot or something. But is this all we're getting? Like, they've been doing all this teasing of the 15 years.
I know. I think I am. Like, there's, and they got everybody. I mean, except Sarah Shepard. Yeah. But, like, I was surprised they got every liar to put stuff in
right
on about the show. That was, especially, not that they don't I do think they embrace it. Like, they'll always post stuff, and like all their posts were really sweet and stuff. But I do think Ashley and Shay specifically feel more removed from everything. And Troyan a little bit, but not as much.
They also feel,
I think, because Troyan was older already when it happened. I think she looks back at that time a little more fondly than maybe they
do. I think it's also like Troyan, I feel like, pretty immediately started her family after the show and was kind of doing, you know, the motherhood thing. And she's still acting, so that's why she, you know, but, and not that Shay and Ashley are not, but I don't feel like it's what they're leading with at this time. And maybe it was sort of what they wanted to get away from. I think it's also so hard. Like, you really need to break people's, you know,
I think also
view of you.
I look
after
at it
this long on a show
a little differently. I feel like because they didn't go right into starting their family, they tried to keep the momentum going in their, and after a show like this, it's just so hard to,
right,
I feel like, break out of that mold. And so, because like Ashley did Spring Breakers, I guess that was a little bit while she was still on the show, but like Shay did You and that movie with like that, she was in that rom-com where she played like the other woman. Or like the young girl that the guy marries.
Oh my God, I don't.
Jennifer Aniston, I feel like, was in
that. I don't remember
movie.
That at all. But obviously I know You. But again, only like a season. Two seasons?
Well, I think one. I think just that first one.
Anywho.
But I do, I feel like, I wonder if that's like, maybe there's a little bit of like, obviously that show changed all their lives, but also maybe limited some of their opportunities.
Yeah, you want to break out from it for sure, because I think you're so cemented in that character. You know, once you've been that forever, that's who people see you as. And I think that Ashley and Shay, more so than the others, no longer wanted that to be like their thing. But I do think that with some time and space, there comes like an appreciation for that, where now they may be more willing to. And they're like, oh, this
doesn't
have to be.
Well, I think their posts are proof of that.
Yeah. And like, well, this doesn't have to be an albatross for us. This doesn't have to be something we're trying to break out of anymore. It's been 15 years. Like, that is such a huge part of who we are. And it's the reason we are where we are. And now it's like, you've still got this fan base that you could be capitalizing on in different areas. Like, get that Pretty Little Liars fan base to buy all your base bags, that kind of a thing, which I think she does. But anyway, I can't wait to actually read it. Is there anything else in there that you think we should discuss?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Nothing's sticking out to me at the moment.
Okay. Did you see that Beyonce had Miley come out and sing Two Most Wanted?
Yes.
Oh my God. But okay, I'm gonna say
Paris really won.
Paris really won. Beyonce even smoked a cigarette on stage. Paris, you really won. And again, the smoking back in culture. We've been saying it. Yeah, but I don't care about that.
I know, but there is still something to be said for like going to a Beyonce concert and getting to see Beyonce and Jay-Z perform Crazy in Love.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. I just am like, don't remind me. Don't remind me about him is sort of my thing. Don't remind me that like you've fucking got a weight around your ankle. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about Jay-Z. Just like, he's just a loser in my mind. Okay, Materialists. We both saw it. You loved it. I did not.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was funny enough. I thought it was...
Funny enough is not... End. Is not what I'm looking for when I go to a comedy. Something that's advertised as a rom-com. Do not call it funny enough. In my opinion, that's not good enough.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I think it maybe.
I was not expecting that. Was not expecting that.
I can't explain why I liked it. I just didn't hate it the way that everybody else seems to have.
Yeah, and everybody else really does seem to have disliked it, which is, I think, hilarious. Where, did I send you this tweet? Hang on,
I
have
think
to find
so.
This.
I thought it was a really aesthetically interesting movie. I just liked the way it looked. I obviously love all three of the lead actors. I thought they were great. I think they could all have chemistry with a wall if they wanted to. And
okay,
my one critique, and I'm sure I have more, but one thing that I noticed during the movie is I wish we had had more of a timeline set up. I wish there was a way to see how quickly or how slowly things were progressing, because like, spoilers for the Materialists, everybody. By the time we get to the scene right before they go to Iceland and like when they break up, I was like, but how long have they been together? Like, how long has this taken? And then like, when does she run into John? And then, like, what is the timeline between that? Like, it's just unclear. I would have liked, like, a 4 months later couple things. Like, especially because at first when we're seeing the montage of all the dates that Pedro Pascal and Dakota Johnson go on, I was like, did they move to a different restaurant? I couldn't tell if they were in different clothes. And then I realized, oh, we're watching a bunch of their different dates, but I'm still not understanding how much time is actually happening between these dates. And how long has it been before, like, we know John's in that play in a few weeks that she's going to go see. How many weeks was that? Because we see them, like, we see Pedro Pascal and Dakota Johnson having a conversation about, like, are we going to be serious? And then the next time we see them together is after John's play. And Dakota Johnson introduces Pedro Pascal as her boyfriend. And I'm like, but we never really got that conversation. Like, I'm still, like, I don't know. That was my complaint. It didn't take away from the movie for me.
I feel like they were honestly, like, doing a little bit of an It Ends With Us thing where Chris Evans is playing the Atlas character, you know, I'm kind of over. So I kept thinking about that. It was so unclear to me whether or not this was a comedy. Like, I know it was marketed as a comedy and I was really expecting this to be, as you had said, like, the way they were marketing this was like, this is going to be a return to
the Devil Wears Prada era.
Devil Wears Prada era rom-com. And visually, especially the opening sequence, I really enjoyed. I thought it was, like, gorgeous. And I really got that vibe from it. I liked the music. But then as soon as we got into it, I just was like, this is kind of lame. And then, I'm sorry, trigger warning for sexual assault. I did not fucking see that coming. There is a whole ass sexual assault storyline that comes into play out of nowhere. And I haven't seen that marketed at all as part of it. There was no trigger warning that I saw. And it's kind of, like, dark. Like, it's really dark. And there was a moment there where I was just...
It didn't connect back to...
No.
...her in any way other than it just rattling her. And
I was like, is this going to turn into, like, a horror film now? I mean, there's this vibe after Dakota Johnson finds out, because the whole premise, and sorry, this is major spoilers, but the premise of this movie is that she's this amazing matchmaker. She's 9 marriages that she, you know, takes credit for, and she works for this company where she matches people up. And it is kind of a depressing look at dating in this year, like, and especially who men are. Like, it's really grody and depressing the way that they all speak and say what they're looking for and how what they say they're looking for is different from what they're actually looking for and all that. But ultimately, Dakota Johnson matches somebody with this guy, and she calls the guy and he's like, oh, it was such a great date, whatever. And she doesn't hear from the girl. We find out he sexually assaulted this girl on their date. And she goes through this huge, like, it seems like it's almost going to be this existential crisis, and she doesn't want to do her job anymore and all these things. And they also are like, oh, it's very normal. Like, there's the moment where she goes back to the matchmaking agency and they're like, well, it's happened to all of us. And it's like, okay, what is the point of this movie? Because this no longer feels like a rom-com. This now feels like a moment of, like, pulling back the curtain on dating in 2025 or something like that. Then we get this scene with Dakota Johnson in, like, a trench coat and a baseball cap. And she's, like, lurking around outside of a building.
She's giving Hannah Marin in this next episode of Pretty Little Liars, which you haven't watched yet.
She's also giving, like, Penn Badgley and you.
Yeah.
Like, she's giving someone, and I was like, is she about to go kill the guy that sexually assaulted her client? Like, that is what I thought was about to happen, because it starts just getting kind of weird. And then there's a moment where, like, she gets a call and she needs to go, whatever. And I was like, is she being trapped by this woman? Is she being trapped by this guy? Like, is something terrible about to happen that we're about to see? And so I kind of sat the whole movie, once that part of the storyline was introduced, with this, like, uneasy feeling of, like, what am I actually watching? And it really felt like nobody knew when they were allowed to laugh. And I think part of that is just all the main actors have very dry senses of humor. Mm-hmm. And that's how the lines were read. But it also was like, I can't even actually tell if you're, like, being a good actor right now.
I do think I thought that storyline was weird too.
Yeah.
It didn't necessarily, again, like, I don't know. I think I just, I don't know. I had my expectations going in there, but I wasn't so attached to them that it, like, made me not enjoy the movie. Mm-hmm. I think my critique would be, I can see in the director's mind, she did Past Lives, another A24 movie, a similar kind of, like, wrong place, wrong time, like, mm-hmm. soulmate stuff. And so I think also knowing that it was her, I knew it wasn't going to be purely a rom-com. Like, I didn't necessarily, I knew there would be, like, more substance to it, I guess.
Yeah.
But
honestly, what I think I was kind of expecting, maybe, was more of a he's just not that into you vibe.
Yeah.
With this movie. And that is kind of what the marketing felt like. It was same kind of time. And same thing with, it's like, oh, the woes of dating. You know what I mean? Like, that was still there. So I think that's sort of what I was expecting. And then I also, you see who we've got billed here. You know, it's Dakota Johnson, Pedro Pascal, Chris Evans. You're like, I'm in for an incredible film. And all these people are very funny and attractive and talented and hot right now. And then I just felt like it fell flat for me based on, I guess, my expectations. But also I feel like if you're going to put the sexual assault storyline in, it's such an important topic. But it doesn't have to be in every movie. And I think, like, as much as it is important, even within the context of this film, it's like, did you say anything new about it? Did you do anything with this storyline that makes a difference, that is going to really, like, help somebody? Does this even push the story forward? I don't know.
Well, that's like, what I mean. That's what I was getting into when I brought, like, I can understand the director. The director needed to get Dakota Johnson's character, Lucy, needed to get Lucy to a position where she was feeling like she had hit a rut and was at a dead end with her career and, like, all this. Like, she was starting to reconsider and reevaluate everything that she thought about her profession, how she viewed relationships generally based on her parents. Like, we get that whole thing with how she and John have the same kind of upbringing, and she's had all these things are coming to her brain and, like, sending her into a spiral. I just think that the inciting incident, it could have been a client that did it to her, but, like, it did. I don't know that it needed to be this, because then I'm like, I kept waiting for Dakota Johnson to connect to it in some way.
Yes, me too. I really did too. And I think, I guess the connection really was, we start out the film really seeing this materialistic, well, also with Dakota Johnson's character, she's so materialistic when you find out. Yeah, and when you find out how much money she makes, I was shocked. She's like, I make $80,000. I was like, what?
Especially with, like, I was like, at first when she said it, I forgot. Not that I forgot, but I was like, in my head, I immediately was like, whoa, that'd be awesome. But yeah. Then I remember, like, throughout the whole movie, the figures that she's talking about that people, like, I was like, I thought surely she was making, like,
a ton of money. It seems like she's, like, the best in the company. I thought she owned the company in the first scene, the way that was laid out. Like, it seems like when a client gets married, you should get a bonus. Like, and the way that she just carries herself and all these, I just really got the vibe that she's living in it's in New York, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's not a lot of money at all.
Exactly.
In New York,
that's what I was, you know? That's what so I meant. It's like, in my brain, I was like, that's not a bad salary. But then I was like, but in New York, and you see her apartment and you see the lifestyle she's kind of
living. So that's where I'm like, huh? And then it's like everything is about how much money do you make? How much, where do you summer? Like, going to his house and being just jaw dropped by how nice his apartment is and all of these things. And I think, I guess the point was, she's like ticking all the boxes. She's doing all the math for all the, like, on paper, this person is a catch, and not actually looking at the human for, like, the connection or who they actually are. But it just fell kind of flat for me. And I was disappointed by that. So, anywho,
that's fair.
Let us know what you guys think of the materialist.
I saw some people that were not happy that she ended up with John. And I was like,
I mean, we knew she was going to.
I also think it's ironic a little bit, and this is me getting on a soapbox, but, like,
okay,
people our age love being like, fuck fast fashion. All this, like, we're in such a consumeristic society. Mm-hmm. And then I'm seeing all these tweets from very similar people who are saying stuff like that, who are like, this is just broke guy propaganda. And it's like, okay, you're like, in your brain, Pedro Pascal's character works at a private equity firm. Like, what are you?
Right.
He's the enemy in all of your brains, but you're like pissed.
Well, exactly.
That Dakota Johnson ends up with, like, the guy that she, number one, actually loves, and two, is poor. Like,
yeah.
It's,
well, and that's, yeah, that's the
it's
whole
so hypocritical. That's the whole point of the movie
throughout, is like,
it's about being materialistic.
That, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, there was a lot happening there, and I wasn't obsessed, but that's okay. I don't have to be obsessed.
No,
All right, moving along. What did you think of Lorde's new song?
I liked it. I haven't listened to it a whole lot since it came out.
Me either. But, it's my least favorite out of the three she's so far released.
I think so, too, just because there's some melodies in Man of the Year. Some Man of the Year, sometimes I'm not in the mood to listen to it because it has a bit of a slow start. Like, it takes me... What Was That just feels like a Lorde song. Like, it just, like, immediately I'm sold. Whereas the other two, I think it's giving more combination of Solar Power and melodrama. And, like, Solar Power has some of those things that just takes you a second.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I liked... It was catchy for a little... I just need to listen to it more, I think.
I agree. And I think I'm also really excited to listen to this album in succession, like, in context, in the way that she wants us to. Mm-hmm. Because I think... Similarly with melodrama, how a lot of those songs like stand alone. I mean, now we still love them standalone, but at the time, I'm sure it would have been like, this song feels like it's part of something bigger. So yeah. I think I do feel like we're getting kind of a return to that with this Lorde album that I'm really, really excited for. And I do like that one of the lines is, when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
I mean, right. Wait, I think I texted that. You. I think I said this song you is did. Spencer. This is just Spencer's song.
100%. Okay, next, have you listened in its entirety to Benson Boone's new album?
No, I was gonna wait to do it for my mom's here.
Oh, we're gonna have a listening party this weekend. Should we go live?
No, I haven't listened to it, but I did
feel bad for the guy.
I sent Mimi that hard post from Rolling Stone that shows he got a 2-star review, and I was like, I just think if an album doesn't get at least 3 stars or higher, don't post about it.
Don't post about it.
That's so mean to me.
It's okay. I'm glad that you feel that, because I was like, okay, are we being a little bit hard on Benny? Our mom loves him.
At least
what are you guys doing? Our mom loves him.
I think at a certain point, you do just have to be like, if you're going to. You have to have that personality to be able to do it. But it is like,
I worry he's going to lose it. Like, because for how long will he really be able to? Because, like, he's taking the joke in his music video.
I feel like he just expects the music video to then. People will take him seriously and he'll be able to stop it. I don't know if I see that happening.
Well, I just think he keeps leaning into all these, like, archetypes of who he could be and who he wants to remind you of. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly. And I don't understand, like, now I don't want you to just be this caricature of yourself that we've ascribed to you, but also, like, before this album, you're giving, like, Harry Styles, like, you're in these jumpsuits, you're in this, like, kind of
Freddie Mercury,
glam,
like,
flamboyant thing, and now your album cover is you all dirt, like, you look like you're from, like,
Bruce Springsteen,
like, you look like you're, literally, like, working like, trying out of the factories. And then in the interview about why you chose the American symbolism, it has nothing to do with any of that, and I just think it's kind of interesting to, like, that's pretty important. Like, if you asked Bruce Springsteen why the American flag is on the Born in the USA,
he'd probably write
cover,
you an essay he'd, about would write it. You an essay. He actually probably already has it written,
and it wouldn't he be would just because hand it to the album is called. I feel like Benson Boone would be like, because I have an American heart, and my heart is Benson Boone. Like, I think that's very similar to what his quote was, literally about it.
Jesus.
And Bruce Springsteen would be like, it's not just because the album is called Born in the USA. This is why the album's called that. And, like, all these reasons that there's all this symbolism that backs it up. It's just, he really is just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. But the problem is there's no consistency. So it all reads as inauthenticity.
I also feel like he's trying to do sort of what we keep saying Sabrina Carpenter's camp is trying to do, which is, like, hit us over the head with, this is who I am. I'm the backflip boy. And it's like, yes,
we
but
got that.
You being you, we got it loud and clear, but also you being the backflip boy is, it still feels like you're doing the showman thing that
it doesn't
is fine.
Work.
Like, be the backflip boy, but you're doing that in the blue V-neck jumpsuit,
exactly.
In the Harry set. Like,
in the thing
so
with
it's
Sabrina.
Just like, it feels like that could be part of you, but everything else about you is hinting at somebody else, so it's just hard to figure out, like,
well, with Sabrina, it's like they are hitting us over the head with who she is, but it is like it's consistent. And even if Sabrina is like there was that tweet exchange she just had where someone was like, does she ever talk about anything other than is her personality anything other than sex? And she quote tweeted it and was like, yeah, and it's so good,
and it's so good,
which is so funny. So she does, she's able to tastefully, or like, tasteful is the wrong word. Just like, just the right amount of showing who she, the, giving us authenticity.
Right.
But she's still throwing this one image of herself at us. So it feels like there's a Sabrina Carpenter as a brand.
Yes.
Benson Boone, I don't know what your brand is.
His inability to tune out the noise is hurting him. Because as much as he's taking the noise and he's like, okay, I'm going to like subvert this and I'm going to make it right. my thing. It's like, okay, but you're so entrenched in what people are saying about you. That
you're not gonna ever
I think
find
it's
Benson
like bringing
Boone.
You down more. Like you need to ascend past this where I think Sabrina Carpenter is like, I'm still going to show you bits of my personality and show you these things because I'm not so entrenched in what people are thinking about me that I can't say anything else except that or except, right. for, you know, responding to something that somebody said about me and making that my whole personality. I also think with her, as much as there are like nods to other, you know, superstars who have come before her, it is an original concept. Like, I mean, it's based on a lot of different things, but we don't look at her and say, oh, you're trying to do exactly what this person is doing. Whereas, and the other thing is, and maybe I'm wrong, but like, has Harry Styles ever acknowledged Benson Boone? Because I'm like, okay, a lot of people could say there are a lot of things about Sabrina that I think remind me of Dolly. But then she goes and does a song with Dolly, and it's like, I'm acknowledging the similarities there. I'm also acknowledging that I'm a lot different, and there are a lot of things about me that are very different. But if you're seeing the similarities there, that's okay. There's a reason I have been influenced by her.
And Dolly's okay acknowledging that.
Yeah, and Dolly is celebrating it, and we're kind of in on it together. Is Harry Styles, has he ever said anything about Benson Boone?
I don't think so, and what sucks for Benson Boone is Harry's just, like, not the type to do so. Like, you kind of picked the wrong guy. Maybe we should have picked Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we should have gone the Ed Sheeran route.
Ed Sheeran would be all over this, Betty.
You would be opening for him right now.
Absolutely. All right, well, moving along, let's get into a couple other things. Selena Gomez got bangs. I'm like, girl. You are looking so good.
Can you ever just let us chill for a second?
Can you just relax for a second?
Also, I don't love the message that's being sent by a newly engaged person when they get bangs.
It's not the time to get bangs. If you just got engaged, you're entering the most photographed era of your life.
That's one reason. But number two, it's like, this is not a time in your life that you even want someone to misunderstand an action of yours as a cry for help.
Absolutely. You don't want anybody here thinking, oh God, she's going through something. You know, that's something you do after a breakup, and that's fine. It signals to everybody, hey, I'm fragile. You
exactly.
know, and it's like, okay, we all get it. But Selena, you're supposed to be on top of the world. How is now the time to get bangs?
And I feel like she has had them before. And it's like,
I'm trying to remember. I mean, probably.
We've had so much.
And to be fair, I've only seen one photo.
Are they like curtain bangs? Like, what kind of bangs are they?
No. Oh, the photo I saw, they're like messy, like, I don't want to say they're like Taylor bangs and when Taylor has her curly bangs, but they're like messy, shaggy bang. But I've only seen one picture, so I could be
back when I was still getting wrong. A side bang, of course. Who didn't?
Right.
It was around when Taylor introduced her 1989 bang. And
oh my God,
I remember the hairstylist at Serendipity. I like was explaining, or actually it was when I was growing my bangs out and I was doing like angles, like I was trying to get some texture. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining that to her and she goes, but like, you don't want the Taylor Swift bang.
she was like, no, you don't want like that. She's like growing up. She can't get the words out. Yeah. Yeah. Are you looking for a picture? Yeah. I don't love it. And she's been looking so good and so chic and her hair has been looking
actually
gorgeous.
It's not as bad as I was anticipating.
Hold it up. Let me see.
Well, I don't actually, this is the most recent picture, right?
Okay. Yeah.
But what I will say, she did have bangs. She had, like, the classic 2017 bangs. Like, that looks good.
Absolutely.
Maybe she's trying to get back to that.
Maybe. But I also
But her hair is like, not long. She's actually had bangs quite a few times.
I guess that's true. But, okay, Vivi showing me a million pictures of Selena Gomez with bangs, but I just know that she got them again. And I think we really hit on something here. It's just not the time.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to say something. We already, as a people, aren't sold. Okay? We're already, like, scratching our heads a little bit about the engagement.
I think if anybody in the couple is making cosmetic amendments to their look.
Oh, my God. You heard it here first. Phoebe thinks Benny Blanco's ugly.
I didn't say that. I just said when your fans, Benny, dared you to pluck your eyebrows and you did it.
Well, he did. He did. And it made a difference.
Yeah. We were all like, okay, Selena.
Yeah. So, okay, Selena's impact. And it's like, is this Benny's impact? Because if this is Benny's impact, I know he makes you smile and that we like. But bangs? Oh, my God.
Like,
it's giving. She went to him and she was like, babe, I think I want to get bangs. And that's just so you guys know, I don't think we have any straight men listening, but if we do, don't if your do partner your comes to you and says to you, hey, I think it's time for me to get bangs, you need to say to her, but you're so beautiful the way you are, let's wait. Let's sleep on it. Don't get the kitchen scissors out and take literally, her to the bathroom to do it literally. For her. Like, I just feel like Benny probably was like, oh my God, you look beautiful no matter what you do. And it's like, of course, she's Selena Gomez. But I just, it sends a message.
This is a crazy little thing that I just got in my brain.
Great. That you just got? It just, who gave it to you? I just got this. It was just delivered to me.
The little guys up there. Oh. The Mom.
Mom, don't listen for a sec. The lesions. Yeah. Okay, go on.
My little buds. My little friends
your
up
little
there.
Little buds.
I wonder how they are.
Me too.
Travis and Benny's relationship to me gives the energy of, this is where I need you to bear with me.
Okay.
Ace and Jeremiah.
Who's who?
Well, that should be clear.
It's actually not.
Well, Travis is Jeremiah. And Ace Why? Is Benny. For like.
Okay, can I say something? Like, okay, let's just go ahead and get into it. We're moving into Love Island. It's time. I need to say a few things. I want to start with, I'm sorry, America, okay? And I'm sorry, everybody.
Caroline likes Ace.
I can't help it. I would be so sunk for him.
Did you see the picture of him sitting on the couch where his feet aren't touching the ground?
Yeah, I did. Phoebe, I'm 5'1". Like, that's not an issue for me.
But that doesn't give you the ick at all?
You know what actually gives me the ick is every face Jeremiah made the entire time he was in the villa.
No, that's so fair.
That's what I'm saying.
What I meant there was not, it wasn't in terms of necessarily person. I just mean like, Jeremiah seems like, okay, it was a bad example, but all I mean is like,
yes,
Travis seems like a cool guy, you know, and he's like a big guy, like he has everything going for him in that way,
mm-hmm.
and Ace is like shorter and maybe has mm-hmm. to overcompensate in other ways with a bunch of mm-hmm. other stuff, and I think there's a little secret part of Ace and all the men, frankly, that resented Jeremy. They just didn't like him from the start.
Oh.
And they went, and I feel like Benny could maybe like in some, like he and Selena might have those little like inside jokes about like, oh, well, Travis just like, maybe Travis says something stupid because he's like a caveman mm-hmm. football player. And like, wow. They like go home and they're like, can you believe he said that?
They're like, and he definitely does not know Aristotle. She was right about that one.
They like make little comments at dinner. They're like,
yeah. And they're like, oh, let's put a pin in this for the car. No, I see that. Back to Love Island. My thing with Jeremiah. Well, first of all, so last night he was evicted.
Guys, we're recording this hours before Casa.
Hours before Casa. Holy shit. I can't wait. I'm so glad they're sending the girls to Casa this year. Like, finally, give them a change of scenery. Let the guys be, like, stuck in the same place and be like, what the fuck are those girls doing? It's a totally different vibe.
And I know they'll never do this, but I just think that I think the girls should always be the ones going to Casa.
I do, too. I don't like the idea of the girls waking up and their men are gone. Like, it's like, okay, that's too real. That's too much, like, real life, okay, for a lot of women. But I think it's good. Let's scare them in a little bit. Let's let them be a little bit scared. Wake up, where's my bitch? Don't call her that. But also,
Caroline, if Caroline were in Ariana's position, she would just be setting traps for these men.
Oh, my God.
Like that.
All like, the time.
Caroline would come in and say, where are your bitches?
Right. And they're like, be like, we woke know. Up, we're like, where's my bitch? I'm like, don't call her that. They're like, you. I'm like, cameras weren't rolling, bitch. Anyway.
Wait, I loved the little peek behind the curtain of them before they sent Charlie home. When you see that massive, did you see this on, I think it was After Sun?
Yes, the huge bug. And Ariana's like, this is the biggest fucking bug I've ever seen
so
in my life.
So interesting and funny to see a poll, like, how Ariana acts and she's not playing this character of the Love Island host. And, like,
and Charlie, she said, she was like, it was so tense. It was like, we couldn't even really have that big of a reaction and, like, laugh because the moment was genuinely so intense. And then Charlie goes, proper killed the vibe.
Yeah, your vibe is about to get killed.
Yeah, your vibe's about to get a good. You think this killed the vibe? Just wait. But my thing about Jeremiah, So last night we lost Hannah and Jeremiah. I mean, jaw on the floor.
We don't have any friendships in this house that matter.
No, here's the deal. I don't actually really care about either of them going, to be honest. Like,
I liked Hannah.
I think it's a crazy decision. I don't know how it makes any sense if I'm in the villa.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't really care because here's the deal. Jeremiah, I think, is a classic victim of, I've always been a weird kid. I just got hot.
Did you see the pictures of him that came out from 2019?
No. But I know he has like a book talk account.
All the comments are like, oh, I just know he watched anime. Or I just know he did this. I just know.
100%. Like he just, every one of his little faces, like he'd say something that should have been smooth. And then he'd like put his tongue between his teeth and be like, eh. Like big type shit. Like whatever. Or he like just made all these really bizarro faces. Like, and I didn't even think he was really a bad guy. Like, I think his ability to not react to what Hoda put him through was really admirable, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. not saying he's perfect, but couldn't be me. But I just think that, like, personality-wise, he's a little bit of a loser. Like, I think he just gave me the ick a little bit.
That's fair.
And I also think the other guys were super-duper intimidated by him because he is objectively the hottest guy in there.
For sure. Here's my issue with them. Is that, and that's why I do think it has to come down to some kind of jealousy. I was 100%. Gonna say envy.
Jelly.
And I hate that word and I can't.
Envy?
No, jelly. Ugh.
Oh.
I hate words with like the heli? That. I hate words
with
like that.
With the jelly?
Anyway, when they separated Hoda and Jeremiah, I mean, I know we did that, but they were all rooting for it.
Yeah, who's they?
But they were all like, they wanted them separated from the start.
Yeah.
And it's all like, you're supposed to be exploring options. You're supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be doing this. And then he does it. He's like starting mm-hmm. this new connection with this new girl. And you guys are like,
well,
making,
the thing is,
you guys are making, and well, Nick is interested.
Nick is interested.
You guys are making these
and Nick
comments.
Is very good. Everybody thinks that Ace is like the ringleader of this villa of the guys. I think it's Nick. I think Nick is the quiet mastermind here because if you notice, like the conversations he's having, he and Ace are having the same kind of conversations. And when they're having them together, they're very cerebral about like the point of the game and how everybody's moving and blah, blah, blah. And like Nick always kind of like Nick is messy and people keep forgetting because they like him because he's funny. Like he is a messy king. Him voting for Hoda floored me the day she told him that she was a mom. Like I couldn't believe it, you know? So I do think he's interested in Andrina.
Yeah.
And he's able to convince and talk to these guys. And I think Ace also didn't love Jeremiah. And so the second that Nick is like, oh, I might not be interested in keeping Jeremiah, Ace is going to jump right on that and be like, yes. And then together, the two of them, they can make these idiot guys do anything on earth. Mm-hmm. They could get them to jump into the Fijian waters off of the villa if they wanted to.
1,000%. But I'm just like, how is that going to be your reasoning for why you don't like Jeremiah and Hoda or Jeremiah and why you're going to vote him off when Taylor has only been exploring his connection with Alandria?
Yes. And like,
and
barely.
Been pretty shitty about
that
it.
That's a generous statement to say he's been exploring his connection with her.
Like they're together, but it's just like, I don't understand how that was the choice when like, I don't know. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Alandria keeps saying that she like wants to be a farm girl with Taylor. And I'm like, girl, I do not see that for you.
I also just,
I just
you
do
had
not see that for you.
Such a hot country boy here a second ago.
Oh my God. Did you see
and by the way,
he's 1.5 million
by
followers
the way,
on
Alandria,
TikTok?
When you get out of here, he's famous.
And he doesn't even remember your name. Just kidding. You know, he does, that sweet little cherub.
So sweet.
Oh my God. No, I like actually can't think
Did
about it, but I'm just so glad.
I saw this tweet of the guy who sat next to him on his flight home.
On
and
the,
he was
and they
like,
set
we got
them
all
together.
Set up
and, like,
with the TikTok.
Yeah, they like reached out to brands together.
So
I'm like, that's
cute.
So cute. Not him like flying coach back.
Cause
I'm
the
like,
idea
okay.
of him not like even thinking to go set that stuff up.
No, literally. It makes me like him even more. I'm also like, what do you mean you're not keeping him for after Sun? Like, Charlie got to stay. Why
we
not
love
Jaylen?
Him.
I just,
we
he
love
got
him.
His fucking passport for the show. Oh, it hurts. Anyway, talking about the girls now. I was so worried they were going to send a Maya Papaya.
Dude,
and
I'm
so
actually
glad they didn't, but I don't really get it.
I'm so glad
she's there, but I don't know that I understand why
I
she's
wanted
there.
Them to send Iris home. That seemed like the easiest option to me.
Yeah.
Because she, as far as I don't know how much, because she and Jeremiah Jeremiah is the only one who knows that she kissed TJ. Is that the bombshell's name?
Yeah, TJ.
So for as all they know is that she's in this couple with Jeremiah, mm-hmm. and they have no spark, no connection. So to me,
right.
I would be like, okay, send her home right. because we have,
right.
I mean, Amaya we're close to. She's a friend in the house, and like maybe mm-hmm. she and Austin are genuinely exploring this connection, yeah. whereas Jeremiah and Iris aren't. Hannah is. Like, she and Pepe are basically yeah. together.
Well, and all these people are out here saying that obviously the girls sent Hannah home so that Hoda could explore with Pepe. But I don't think the girls like Hoda enough
no.
to do that for her.
And I also, like, even if they did, I don't think they're stupid enough to think that that's, like, a viable option.
I know. Because also, I just really think, I mean, I don't know how much longer. Yeah, get her to Casa. Hoda might have an opportunity in Casa. I'm having a hard time watching her flirt. It's dude, like kind no. of giving me
when
the ick.
When she pulled Pepe and she was like, I noticed like you couldn't like take your eyes off me when the beginning, like all saying all this stuff.
I was like, stop this.
And then with stop TJ, this now. And especially when TJ told her that like he was getting more of a platonic vibe, and then she has to try
she's
to like play
can
it
I ask
cool.
why?
Well, first
can I
she
ask
says
why?
That.
I just don't fuck with you. Or how about this? I've watched all your antics. Like, I know someone, what you've been up to in here.
Someone was talking about how, like, this show is a really interesting experience for people who are 10s in all of their respective cities. To be yes. put into this. Because, like, I think Hoda yes. is probably used. She's used to going into a conversation with a man at a bar or a club and not having to really.
Well, as she literally told us. She goes, anything. I'm just used to guys, like, immediately being obsessed with me. So I'm kind of confused why you're not. He's like, yeah, because I don't like you.
And
like,
she says it with a tinge of a joke, but I'm like, no, I've been watching you. I know this is you.
I know this is
all you, Hoda.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, we keep giving her opportunities to, like, be better. And the thing is, this is who she is. Like, she's continuing to double down on saying things, doing things. I think it was shady as fuck of her to pull Pepe after the whole Hannah thing.
And then actually
she
spoke
to Hannah about it. Like, she's like, oh, my God, I feel like such a bitch. I, like, did not think there was going to be kissing at the end of the challenge. Girl, yes, you fucking did.
You watched
it's Love Island.
You watched it. Also.
You watched a bunch of people just go, like, don't tell me you didn't know. So, I don't know. And then her whole thing with Jeremiah, I'm like, stop trying to, like, make out before he leaves. Like, he is not interested in you. The way she's trying to make it, like, her storyline when Jeremiah gets eliminated, it just is, I'm like, okay, you know what? One of them had to go. She is better TV than him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would have been boring to watch in Casa because he's so about Andrina right now. Mm-hmm. So, like,
that's
she
fair.
Leaves and then he's there. I just don't see him actually getting to know anybody. And maybe that was part of Nick and Ace's, you know.
Maybe. I'm just relieved,
idea.
Filled with complete relief that Amaya isn't gone. I never
I know.
Said
that would have been
I was perfect.
That would have been way too hard to watch if she got sent home. Can you imagine?
Did you see the message she left for Hannah and Hannah listening to it?
No.
Ooh, she's sobbing.
What was it?
She's like, my Maldives no, sister.
No. Like, the other thing is, here's the deal. I don't know if Amaya is going to find her partner on this show. Like, I don't know if she's got the personality, but what she does have is sisterhood. And she is great for the girls.
Yes.
And she's not afraid to hold people accountable. Like, the way she said to Hoda, like, I think it was inappropriate of you to pull Pepe. Mm-hmm. I was like, good for her, because she doesn't strike me as someone who's going to do that. With the girls.
She's
you
got
know?
A Hannah-ism about her.
Yes, she does. She does.
And I love how she is so uncompromising and how mm-hmm. she, like, she's like, I know I'm a lot. I know I have a
yeah.
lot to give. And
absolutely.
Sometimes, like, the love that I have to give, guys don't like, but there will be a guy who is, like, obsessed
yes.
with
and
it.
Yes, and she's like, so I'm not going to change it because I know there's someone who's going to love it.
And like
I also,
she said,
I really.
And like she said. She never said that she was perfect. And at least she's her
like
own
she
best
sang.
Friend.
And you mean like she's saying, oh, no. Her being her own, I will be your
friend.
Best friend. Amaya, I
no,
will
No, I don't think
friend.
She said it. I think she meant it in like, at least I'm my own
I
best
know
friend.
She did. I know she
Amaya's
did.
Got
it
Amaya.
It just hurt me. It hurt me.
For sure.
Amaya Papaya's got Amaya Papaya, but like, so do I, Caroline. Caroline's also got Amaya Papaya,
I don't
I promise.
Know how to iron. How am I going to get married?
How am I going to be a wife? Oh, my God. I just absolutely love her. I love how she's there for her girls. She's kooky as fuck. She's just
her.
Got a big heart.
I
like,
love
that's
so
all
much.
It is. She's got a big heart and she's a little bit weird. And that's a lot of these people's stories, by the way. A lot of the people on this show happen to be 10s
hey, by
who
the
are
way,
weirdos.
They all have to be weird. To go on this you show.
Know, to go on this show.
No normal person
you,
is going on Love Island.
They're like, if you pass the psychological exam, you can't go on the show.
I'm like,
you have
I
to fail
like,
it.
Hoda, How did we not see Hurricane Huda coming through on the exam?
I do not know. And I also, a lot of people are starting to turn and be like, the girls, everyone's being so nasty behind her back and they're not having the same energy to her face. I don't know about that. Because I'm like, I saw the conversation between Sierra and Huda where she's like, look, I almost stood behind Jalen. Like, you have to act different or I'm not going to be here for you. So it's like, I just think we hadn't seen it yet. But it's not that they're not gonna tell her, but I also don't think she's like really a captive audience.
And also, she's not, she might want to kind of act like she's looking for the sisterhood, but she's not. She's 100.
No.
Why would they watch her back? She's not watching any. Yeah. And the pulling Pepe for a chat was proof of that.
Yes, 100%. I thought it was crazy. And I think really her only chance for finding someone is going to be in Casa. Otherwise, everyone's just like seen too much. I just think, unfortunately, in this villa, they're going to be nervous to get in there. I thought the other thing about Hannah, though, is like her crying, her boohooing. I could not. I was like, this again with you getting. But that is hard. Bothered me.
It didn't bother me. It was like a little much. But I do think that like if I went and I like solidified this connection with this guy, like I made a mistake and then I apologize for the mistake. Get into a good spot with my couple. And we're good. And we go into this recoupling being like, we are good. Like, we've got each other. Like, we're safe. And then he gets sent home, not by America, but by the house after they all watch them go through that experience. And then she's able to, like, obviously.
And the house also sends me home.
Yes. And then exactly. Right when this connection with Pepe is, like, getting serious. And it's like.
Right after you had your spit start. Which I just want to say also, poor Hannah getting her phone back. And that's, like, the last footage we have of her. Girl, what were you thinking with that?
How are you going to work in corporate America?
Put your fucking head under the covers if you're going to be doing that. Okay? Thanks. I also, here's the other thing.
And yeah, we slut shame.
Everyone's fucking in this island. And afterwards, relationships are done. Okay.
And that's very.
With Nick and Sierra.
What's crazy to me, and I don't remember the ages of everybody last year, but we're getting into the Gen Z people on these shows. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really showing a pattern in how specifically men move in the dating world.
Yes.
Is that as soon as it gets physical, mm-hmm. first of all, physicality is a requirement. We saw that with Nick and Bella. I know we're on Love mm-hmm. Island, but I do think that like that's why he was immediately interested in Sierra because Sierra was willing to kiss him and do all that stuff with him. And Bella was a little slow of a start, which is like, again, I know it's the show, but it's also like, it had been a day or two.
Yeah.
I think you can handle it, Nick.
Yeah.
And then we see Nick and Sierra, Nick being weirded out now that like kind of like ready for the next thing now that he's had sex with Sierra. And same with. I didn't really get that sense with Pepe and Hannah, but with Jeremiah and Huda.
But it also gives that idea like, you know, the moms will always tell you. Why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? And I think keeping a little bit of the, especially in a game like this where there's very little physical stuff to be kept secret, like it creates the allure. There's something they haven't had yet. And then once they've had it, it's just like, well, I kind of have explored all you have to give me now.
It's crazy.
Like, that's how they look at it. And I also think,
it's so gross.
It shows that even though, like, you can be as chill. Like, I think Sierra is a certified cool girl, certified chill girl.
Yeah, I like her.
You can be as chill as you are, and sex will still change things for you. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that she couldn't help but be bothered by some things after they had that connection, whereas before, she was not bothered by him flirting with other girls. She had no problem saying she was open, that he was open, and now it's changed it for her. And honestly, I liked how Ace was talking to Nick about it. I thought it was a really good conversation between them. These are the moments that I really like Ace. I really like Ace with Shelly. I like the way he treats her.
Did you see the rumors that they're married?
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about that. But her camp came out and was like, they do not fucking know each other. Her family came out and they were like, no, they're not married. No, they don't have a kid. No, they haven't been together forever. Like, I think that the story they're telling is true because also as much as I could see Ace being a little shithead and like faking it the whole time on the villa.
I don't see that for Shelly.
I can't see it for Shelly. I don't think she can keep it up. You're under 24-hour surveillance and you're going to pretend that whole time. Like, I just don't see her and who I want her to be. I don't see that being a possibility for her. I really like them together. I would be really happy if they won. And I know that's not a popular opinion right now, but I hate that it's not. Like,
I want Shelly to win.
All the things
sure.
that he's doing for her, like, that is really cute. None of the other guys are doing this shit. And if they are, it's because Ace is helping them or telling them they need to. Like, Ace is like, guys, it's time. Like,
I do agree with that.
Showing these women.
I just wish.
And Austin's like, but how? And he's like, look what I'm doing. Just use your fucking imagination. Austin should have been gone. And how great it would have been for Taylor, because Taylor was the one who got to say which guy was dumped. And obviously Austin voted for Taylor to be kicked out. Didn't work, but how great would it have been if Taylor was like, and Austin were sending you home? Mm-hmm. Especially after Austin's been talking shit on Amaya to the guys, talking shit on his connection. Like, why would you not send him home? He doesn't have a connection here, which I guess you could make the same case for Amaya, but I don't want to.
No, because Amaya is, Austin gives, he's in there for bro time.
Yeah.
Amaya is in there to find love genuinely. Get her on The Bachelor.
I know.
She gives early season. No, but no, don't hear me out for a second. She gives early bachelorette when it was girls that genuinely were looking for a connection.
We're looking for love.
I just think that there's something about that show that felt more like love based, which is where Amaya's coming at everything from.
Amaya's also beautiful.
She's like, gorgeous. She looks like an Olsen twin.
Let's not discount this. She is stunning. Like, any guy would genuinely be lucky to be with her. And I do not appreciate that she flat out asked Austin. And someone must have tipped her off. Someone must have, because he had that conversation saying that he was getting the ick. It was, like, too much, too soon, whatever. Which, that's valid. Like, I did think she was going a little bit hard with the baby and whatever. But
also,
how
does,
are you
going
to be honest behind her back? She asks you to your face, hey, is anything I'm doing bothering you? Is me calling you baby too much? And he's like, no.
It's like she learns from things
yet.
With Ace. And I do think there's something to be said for, sure, it might be too much for some guys.
Yeah.
But especially now that it's happened twice, like, I do think that it's just how she talks. Like, I don't think.
Yeah, I do too.
I think the guys are reading too much into it when she calls them babe. I think she calls everybody babe. They just
love being in the position where they can be like, ugh,
fuck my
girls.
Fuck,
like,
my girlfriend.
So bad. Like, fuck this girl. Like, I'll just get the next one. Like, that's how they love being in this position.
I really feel the men's. And I noticed that I clocked it as soon as Austin pulled Amaya. Like, I was like, he just wants to stay another week.
Yes, 100%. I will say the Casa guys do look pretty hot. So I'm glad. I feel like sometimes it's hit or miss with those guys, and they bring them in and it's like, really, that's what you're giving our girls? Saw a few hotties. The girls are obviously gorgeous. One thing I just need to say, like, can you imagine the stress of being the person running the social media account for someone on these shows?
Oh my God.
Like, imagine being the person running Huda's Instagram account. And you're trying to clear out, shovel out those comments, get those hate comments out of there before she. And last night, every night you're terrified. Every night you're terrified she'll get eliminated and she'll get her phone back. So you have to be on
it
around the clock.
Partially feel like you're the one getting the hate.
Well, yeah, and it would also. I mean, just imagine. I imagine if it were like, okay, let's say you were in the villa and I am running your Instagram.
Only option.
And people hate you. You are the most hated person in America, in the world, okay? And everyone's like, we hate her.
I know what
we
that feels like. That was us last April.
Oh, right. That was us last April. Right. Anyway, everyone is coming to your comments, and they're like, you aren't even cute or nice. Like, they're being so nasty to you. First of all.
Literally everybody comes in, and they're like, pretty girl hate on her. Pretty girl hate on
her. They're like, okay, we have to get her out of here. She's the prettiest, hottest girl here. She's the nicest girl here. She's the funniest girl here. And she's already famous. She already has an award-winning podcast. We cannot let her stay here. She will take all the men. But anyway, every single man who comes in here is going to be like, can I be coupled up with Phoebe? And it's never happened before, but they pushed all the beds together so Phoebe could be in a couple with 10 guys. And everyone used to say she was a slut back home on Reddit. On Reddit, people are like, oh, well, we know she's a slut. Have you ever listened to the Pretty Little Podcast? Her sister outed her for being a splendiferous slut years ago. Anyway, I'm manning it. First of all, I'm fighting back. First of all, I'm in the comments.
Which is
and I'm
why,
like,
no offense.
I'm like video chatting these people, finding their numbers, cold FaceTiming.
I don't even know if I can give you this job.
Well, I know. But let's just say that. Let's say that I'm a little bit more normal.
I think your therapist would ask me not to. I think she'd find my email. She'd find my personal email and be like, hey, girl, I heard you're going on the
violin. My therapist calls Ariana Maddox. Hey, can we assign somebody else? And no, not Georgia Connell either. We have Maddie Martone running her TV show.
It has to be Maddie Martone.
But imagine it's me and I'm okay. I fought back, but now I'm like, oh God, Phoebe can knock it out and see all this. The stress. It's like, you know, when you're when the whole room is filling with water or something, and you have like a shovel and you're trying to like get a little bit of water out one by one, but they just keep coming. That's what it would be like. And I'm like, imagine being, because I was going through Hoda's comments the other day after Ariana had her moment on After Summer. She was like, enough with the hate. There's still time for you guys to delete everything that you wrote. I went and looked, and I'm having a hard time finding a lot of Hoda hate on her page. Me too. And I'm sorry. I love that she's like the little Barbie doll of Love Island. I hope she does this every year for the rest of her life. Because first of all, to spend the summer in Fiji, how amazing, she deserves it. But she looks so good, and her outfits are so good.
And she's having a little Polly Pocket. So much fun.
I love it. I mean, the Meg. Oh my God. When Meg came in, like, I was obsessed. But I do need to say, like, and this is, I got to be approved for a second. Girls, do you have anything on underneath your panties, underneath your bikinis? Because the twerking challenge, I'm not sure how everyone in that villa has not seen your full butthole and vagina. I don't know.
What is so, like, and listen, guys, there are very few reasons me and Caroline wouldn't go on Love Island.
Right, like, I can barely think of one.
But, like, let's just say, for example, I'm someone who isn't particularly talented in that arena.
I did want to know how they chose who twerked, because everybody didn't, you know, like, and Hannah escaped that one. I was like, good for you, because I would have been like, I will not be twerking.
Literally, I'll do the limbo. Not in front of Meg.
No, not in front of America either. That not in front of like, the camera that's like between my ass cheeks. Oh, my like God.
Forgetting to curtsy in front of the Queen of England.
If you couldn't twerk in front of Megan Thee Stallion, it's like, yeah. you might as well go swim with the fishes. Go sleep with the fishes. You're out of here.
I'm walking out of the villa because I can't twerk. Stupid.
I definitely should have practiced my twerking before I got here. I knew I was forgetting something. No, I had that exact thought, and I was like, interesting, the girls we didn't see twerking. I want to know how we decided that.
Well, I think on the girls' side of things, we definitely had volunteers. I think we definitely had some hands raised.
Well, I know Hoda's hand was up so high and so fast, and for good reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's gifted. But the thing is, I heard, and this might be wrong, so can somebody educate me if I'm wrong, but Amber told me that they're not allowed to have razors in the villa. And I'm sorry, we got to get graphic here for a second. How are they grooming? Because you cannot tell me that you are all day in front of cameras, cross-legged, in a bikini, and you're not allowed to have razors. And here's the deal. If you're waxing, first of all, there needs to be someone who can wax you, but you have to, sorry, TMI, you have to have a certain like amount of hair to be able to wax. So like if you go in for a wax and you don't have, I think it's like a quarter inch of hair, like they won't do it because it'll just like rip your skin off. So that's... It grows back slower than when you're shaving, but it's still gonna be growing back to the point that I'm not allowing a camera inside my asshole if like I got a wax 3 weeks ago. Like that's not too far away. So the other thing is, after you get a wax, you're not supposed to wear tight fitting clothing. You're not supposed to like sweat. You're not supposed to definitely have sex or anything like where your privates would be rubbing against anything. And I know this because when I got my first wax ever, I was in Cabaret the Musical. And I had to wear lingerie that night and go dancing in like a leotard and tights. And let me tell you, not comfortable. Not comfortable after that. Okay? So that's the other thing. Is like, even if you do have access to razors and you're shaving every day, what about the razor burn? What about the ingrowns? You know?
And like, I mean, just honestly, don't believe.
And I'm sorry, is your asshole bleached? Sorry, is your asshole bleached? Because these are the questions I'm asking. You have no acne on your butt? You're in the swamp, basically. I just don't get it. Like, you're sitting around in, like, these tight-fitting bathing suits all day long.
I think once we get Hoda out of the villa...
We're getting her on the podcast, and we're asking these questions.
We'll say, don't listen to any of our other episodes.
Don't listen to any of our episodes, but get on here and explain. because I'm explain curious. Yourself, Huda. I'm just curious, like, how you guys are so comfortable too. You must be so confident that you are so groomed.
It was like me and my friend if we were on Love Island.
Yes,
like,
with all the pillows and the towels. Absolutely. I'm constantly wondering why they're not doing that. You guys have access to so many pillows, like, and you're sitting here cross-legged.
They are literally
put a pillow there.
Phoebe, you have to get out of the pool. And I'm like, I'm good.
I'm like, but I'm playing mermaids. I love it here.
I'm so comfortable in here.
I have George Washington hair. See?
No, but it's like, so hot. It's
I'm actually
hot.
Where Rob was last season when he went to hide from everybody, like, underneath. That's where I am.
Get a connection.
They're like, you can't make a connection. I'm like, guys can come to me.
They know where to find me. I'm closed off.
If you see it, my hand come over and I'm writing backwards in Sharpie. Caroline's under here. If anybody wants to put me for a chat, come on down.
Only the R is backwards.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I'm sorry to talk so much about grooming your private parts, but like, I'm wondering, because especially if they're not allowed to have razors in there, which does make sense. And when I thought about it more, I was like, well, thank God, because sorry.
It would be so dangerous.
Would be so. Imagine. I mean, these people aren't with it.
Like, I wonder if, like, this is also crazy. Do they, because they, I also read that they get like a Wednesday. Their Wednesdays are no filming, no cameras. Mm. I wonder if they have like a supervised time where someone's like in the bathroom and they are taking a shower.
I was wondering that too, because they also have to be shaving their armpits and their legs. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, they have to have razors. So I wonder if they're like, okay,
I love that
you
we
can
could
go
have
shave.
Actually phrased this whole razor conversation around just like
not really
not TMI
not really.
Places.
Not really. Okay. I couldn't really, because I mean, we were talking about the twerking challenge, and I'm also wondering about the butthole. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm wondering about the whole thing. Because it's just, it would keep me from wanting to twerk on Megan Thee Stallion. I would be like, I would not be like them. They don't even have that much alcohol.
No, and that is something I do consistently come back to. And it's not a matter of like, you'll see people comment about how, like, reasons they couldn't do Love Island, and they're like, only two drinks. And people will comment and be like, wow, you need alcohol that bad? And it's like, well, to be on Love Island.
No, but that is a...
To be on Love Island, yeah.
I've, like, never had a drink in my life, but if I'm on Love Island, I'm full-blown drinking it like it's water. Like, I'm like, keep it coming.
It's the first drink of the day.
I need to be blackout every day. Every single moment of every day.
In order to be that comfortable in front of men that early in the morning, all day, on the beach, in the sun, I need to be a couple drinks in before the sun's up.
Yes, and then add in the pressure of, you also know your mom and dad are watching.
And also, like, I need to be likable. I need to perform.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. It's like, no. And that's also why I don't think Shelly and Ace could be faking this. Because you would have to be performing 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think Shelly's too real for that. I just really do. I would love to see them win. I really would. Anyway, okay. That was a riveting, amazing conversation about Love Island. Let's quickly talk about Next Gen for a second.
I don't think I watched. What happened last week?
Oh, you didn't? Well, it was the standoff between Riley and Charlie, and then they went to the party at Gia's.
Oh, yes, I did watch.
And
did
Charlie's
watch.
Basically like, oh, Charlie sucks. I didn't mean my apology.
Oh, because this is when I was texting Caroline, I can't believe he's 29. I could not actually believe that in front of a camera, he went and had this conversation with Georgia where he said, well, I said I was sorry. It doesn't mean I am sorry.
I know. I could not believe it. And here's the other thing. You know, we've got Riley, who is a woman of color, and she's here talking about how she's feeling the impact of the microaggressions that her friends aren't realizing that they're doing.
When Georgia said the thing about her being scary, I was like,
scary?
Are you fucking kidding me?
And the thing is, Riley didn't even say anything to you then.
Also, like, Georgia, you seemed scary in that whole interaction.
Yeah. And it was the whole, like, you're the one not washing your hands, but Riley's the scary one because she doesn't want to shake your hand. Like, okay.
And she said it in the most, like, timid,
she said it in the nicest fucking way. She was just like, I'm just struggling because I feel like you guys, like, I'm a black girl.
No,
you know?
I even
so
mean the comment
different.
To Georgia when she was like, she didn't. That's why I was like, well, she didn't say it in, like, a super overtly nice way, but she said it in a way that's like, when you first meet someone, it's kind of a way to joke. It's like, I don't know if I want to shake your hand. And
right, totally.
It's like,
totally.
And then when she did,
but
have
I feel
this
like even how she talked to Charlie about it, where she wasn't trying to, like, she was not trying to start a fight.
Gave
she
him
was,
the benefit
she
of the
was,
doubt.
And the other thing is, because she's somebody who has to think about and has to deal with these microaggressions and being called scary and aggressive,
and probably
all these
has
things,
her whole life because of Real Housewives.
She is aware of that. So when she's entering conversations where she might have to have some sort of a confrontation, mm-hmm. she's still got that in the back of her head. And that's still probably informing the way she approaches this, especially knowing that it's on television. So I really felt like Charlie's inability, like it was like the second that race was brought into it, he was like, I'm not doing this. And it's like, hey, you don't get to decide. That's actually not up to you.
So like, that's I feel the point like in the conversation where you should care more. Because
you should care more and be like, wow, I obviously don't know what I don't know.
If someone's, you know, like, I don't like that you called me scary, and it's a white person to a white person, then it's like, you can kind of maybe roll your eyes at the conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, like, that's not how I would handle it. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But like,
but also, if you're saying it to a person of color and they say to you, hey, I know you might not understand the implications of what you just said to me, but I'm laying it out for you now. It actually does not matter what you thought you said, what you thought you meant, even if you don't.
That's how you made her feel.
Like, it's at this moment, all there is for you to do, Charlie, is to say, I am so sorry. I will be better. I did not realize how that was coming off.
Frankly,
and I'm embarrassed.
And say thank you
for pointing this out to me in such a kind way. It's not your job. You know, it really should not have to be your job to educate me on how to speak to you. And I appreciate you taking the time because you care about our friendship, obviously, and you don't want to just write me off. You want to continue a friendship with me, but you want me to be a good friend and you want me to be better. And I want to be better and I want to be a good friend to you. And our friendship matters. So if I hurt your feelings in any way, it doesn't matter if I do think it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And that's that. You know, and then you don't turn around and say, and I didn't mean my apology. Like,
Within five minutes of that conversation.
He is disgusting. And I was dying at the very end of the episode. He's like rolling a joint or something in his apartment, which is so funny because I keep forgetting that weed is totally legal in New York. So they're allowed to just like
it's
be smoking pot.
Obviously, all these
everywhere.
Kids are so rich. Like, obviously, it's different from Vanderpump in that way. But this period of life that we're catching them in is giving early days Vanderpump of like,
yes,
like they are like, when I think it was, I don't remember who went over, but they went over to Charlie's house and they were just like pounding bottles of white wine and they're like, yeah. Oyster Bay, best ever.
I know, I was dying at that. I was like, oh, okay. No, I know. They're like, but I'm also like, Charlie, you're 29.
Exactly.
So why is this still who you are?
Because this
like,
is like,
you know?
Do you remember when Stassi and Jax broke up and they go over to Jax's, they're like getting ready to clean up and they drink all of his Vouv or something?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, Stassi was 23, 22 when
right.
she did that.
Right, exactly, exactly. This was just so, I just think he is such a real life Chuck Bass.
He's
like,
terrible.
He's terrible. And he says to the camera guys as he's there and he's rolling this joint, he's like, hey, and by the way, like if my apartment looks like super sloppy or you see like, you know, shit everywhere, like I just don't want people to see like weed everywhere and just think like all he does is roll joints. Like, just let me know if I should clean up at all. And then the editors go and they show all these shots of his disgusting apartment with like the credit card on the table, the tons of like weed and different little Ziploc baggies all over the place, his disgusting like plates out. Like, they literally, you can just tell how they feel about Charlie, because instead of saying, yeah, you should clean up, they're like, no, it's fine. They got all the B-roll and then they put it into the show while he's saying
he's disgusting. And honestly, another season of him might, like, obviously I know he's good TV, but I'm like, is he
I know.
Good enough TV?
What are we on, 3 episodes so far? Yeah, so we'll have to see how this progresses.
I just have to remember, like, obviously I think Tom and Jax are deplorable people, but like,
and
that's what Bravo's in the business of.
Exactly. Speaking of, Jax's return to the Valley was absolutely abhorrent.
It's actually really hard to like even talk about. Like,
it really
so
is,
because
it feels too dark to be showing us. Like, what he's done to Britney financially, he should go to jail.
Absolutely.
Like,
it actually
gives
me
chills
a little bit.
I know. And I do believe that it has come out that he was not actually in a rehab facility, that it was like he was there for like 72 hours and then he left.
It is. And the fact that that poor kid,
the poor child,
and the fact that
like,
he started,
I
talking.
Haven't even gotten to see my kid. And the fact that Britney's like, I've had Jax unblocked since Wednesday when he got out. He has not texted me one time to try to see his kid.
This is how you know he's so fucked in the head. Sorry to say. Because him being on reality TV has warped his mind so much that he's like, well, I'm just going to say this on camera. And he, in his brain, thinks he's such a He still thinks he's the number one guy in the group.
Yes.
So he's like, people are going to feel so bad. And he, as soon as he gets in the car, when Jesse comes to pick him up, and he is immediately like, no one even came to visit me. I was here for these weeks. No one came to visit me. And then I have to find out this Brits thing. Jax, they put a tarp over the name for 4 hours.
For one night. He's like, that's what you do when your friend's in rehab. You celebrate.
Yeah, when you do the shit that you did to Brittany.
When you put her and your son's life in danger.
Yeah.
And now you continue to lie about what's wrong with you. Stop saying that drugs and alcohol are not your issue, that anger is your issue. You have a substance abuse problem. Perhaps that was triggered by an anger issue and you were using it to cope.
And vice versa.
I don't know. I've never seen you not angry.
It's a big cycle.
But I also think uppers like that, amphetamines, cocaine, make you angrier. That is what they do. And there are people who have disorders like bipolar disorder, or people who even just have anger or are prone to anger, who don't need to be using substances that exacerbate that. And you know you're one of those people. And you can't play dumb because we've been watching it for your entire life.
And this is,
it's too much.
Obviously, I'm angry with Jax, but I expect this. It's nothing shocking to me. Like, even the stuff that is shocking, it's like, still like, but I just like, looking back at Britney's whole arc and like Lisa being like, if you fuck with her, like I think everybody who's watched Vanderpump probably feels a level of protection over her, and it's been so devastating to watch, and I'm so glad she's out of that situation. But something that makes me almost angrier is the way that this friend group is reacting to,
oh my god,
number one, what Michelle says every time she has the opportunity, which is that she thinks she's going through something worse than what Britney's going through.
Michelle, how can you even say, I understand Jesse might be a psychopath. I do want to point out, you chose to leave that marriage. You found somebody else. You met somebody else. You cheated on him. You left the marriage. That's fine. Britney didn't like make the choice to leave her marriage because she fell out of love with her husband. He is in rehab. He threw things at her fucking kid. We've been seeing this forever. Like, he fucked up their finances. Like, everything that you're saying Jesse did to you, Jax did, and then some.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot more, you know?
And again, Britney still has these moments where she has like her stand by my man moments. Michelle, you hate Jesse's guts, and the whole friend group knows that.
Yes.
So yeah, they didn't throw you a party when, like, for your last night of freedom because your husband, who has now left you in financial ruin, is coming back and is expecting to be in your friend group.
Right.
And now it's, and like, the other thing, Brittany's is like, had these 3 weeks where she hasn't had to pick up the pieces because everything's on pause. Her whole life is about to be in shambles tomorrow, Michelle. Yeah. And you're sitting there in the corner being like, I can't believe my friends would do this.
I know. For Brittany, wouldn't do it for me. I'm going through much worse than her. It's like, also, way to be a friend of Brittany by even saying that. That's so crazy. And I'm sorry. I know Jesse's making your life hard, and he is making this as difficult for you as possible. And he is a total asshole, like 100%. However, you are in a relationship now with somebody that you're very happy with.
And you're obsessed with Jesse. He's great to Isabella.
Yeah, you're not in full financial ruin, to my knowledge. Like, it seems like you guys are okay, and you've got sort of this like exit plan. Like, you have,
and they're co-parenting.
Brittany has does not exactly.
Like, Jax,
Brittany
is not going to be able. You're not going to be able to co-parent with him.
Yeah. And Jax, especially if Jax is in a rehab facility, like in a real rehab facility, he wouldn't be able to be texting, or he wouldn't be able to be leaving the rehab facility to come take the covers off of the camera so he can watch Brittany in their home.
Exactly.
Like, it's not the same at all. And I do not appreciate the way the whole friend group is like rallying around Jax the way that, I'm sorry, but it speaks so much to Jason and Janet's character that they're able to stand by Jax through this. Like, I can't stand them. And I also, in the after show, Janet and Jason are both saying like, oh, well, our parents like watched this, and they were talking about, oh, we feel so bad for your child who's going to have to see that like their father took off his wedding band when he went out, and like, it's so damaging and so terrible that like, she's like, our families have seen that, like what that's not. And I'm like, and you don't think that you coming on here and saying that Danny, who has four kids, basically three and a half, four, that you saying he has a substance abuse problem plain as day on national television, you don't think that's more
and
damaging
doubling down
than somebody saying, I heard that Jason used to take off his wedding band?
Like, the conversation, when they have that first dinner with Jax after he gets back, and it turns into let's all pile on Danny about how he's an alcoholic.
It's crazy. I cannot wrap my head around it.
The conversation that Danny had at the Brits party, I was like, he does sound, his speech is a little slurred.
Yeah.
But like, what he was saying wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
That wasn't Dark Side Danny.
Janet, like, you are a bitch. Sorry. I cannot stand her. And no wonder Nia's trying to get him out of there when he starts acting like that. Like, that's the appropriate thing to be doing.
I know that they're turning it into this thing of, like, Nia doesn't want us to see him like that because she knows he's an alcoholic and is wasted and she's trying to keep this perfect picture up. But I'm like, maybe also she doesn't want him to keep opening his mouth so you guys get more ammunition of your... like, so you guys can't keep building this case that I don't buy that he's an alcoholic and the way that they're trying to make me think he is.
No. I think maybe he sometimes has a little bit too much to drink, but I'm sorry, in this group... That just feels like a wild accusation when you all drink like fish. Like,
literally.
We are watching you drink so much. You all own bars. You're all in this. One guy is in rehab and he's not really, and you're not holding him to the same standard that you're holding Danny to. I think it's out of control. And I think that also there's probably a part of Nia that's like, let me get Danny out of this situation so that he stops offending people. Mm-hmm. I don't want Janet's feelings to be hurt.
Yeah.
You know, by him calling her a snake and those kind of things. Like, but then when Janet and Nia have their conversation at Zach's party at Jesse's, I was like, Nia, you are a better woman than me. I would have been on my feet physical with Janet when she's like, okay, I'm done here. Oh my God.
She's so annoying.
And she couldn't believe Nia let her walk away.
It doesn't clock to her that she should be standing on business.
It's not clocking to you that I am standing on business.
Because as soon as things get hard in a conversation about something that she's instigated,
okay.
She's like, I'm not doing this with you.
She gets her little Karen face. Like, Janet, you are a fucking Karen. You are.
If you were such a good friend to Nia and you genuinely believed Danny had a substance abuse issue in a way that was like a well-meaning, or no. That's how she should be acting. As a friend, if you have a concern that your friend's husband has a drinking problem that has like put him in all these positions that you guys are saying he's been so Dark Side Danny, like, if you think that's a genuine concern you have, then why are you using it? You're leveraging it like it's this weapon to be held against Danny and Nia, and it's really ugly. And it's like, it's just Janet wants to be seen as this like good friend who's looking out for everybody, and she's just not. She is she is almost unwatchable in my opinion. Like, it's not an enjoyable kind of pot stirring, which is who Kristen Doty is and has always been. Also, because Kristen Doty can take it. Janet and Jason cannot take it the way that they expect everybody else to. And obviously, the idea of him taking his wedding ring, that's a pretty significant accusation. But, like, so is being an alcoholic to a dad of four on national TV. And doubling down on it consistently.
Yes. Should we get into our rotations?
Yes. I don't remember what I'm on. Do you know what you're on? Oh, perfect. My dream rotation is the Heim sisters. All three of them.
Wow. Okay, that was easy.
And that's that. The album's great.
My nightmare rotation is the three worst white boys of the moment. Charlie from Next Gen, Austin from Love Island, and Jax Taylor from The Valley.
Oh, that's good.
Easy. Easy peasy.
Janet didn't even make it on there. Janet will be on mine.
No, she didn't, because I just really, it's just about the guys right now. It's about the awful guys that I hate. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Pretty Little Podcast. Make sure you check out our really fun Punch Bowl episode on the Patreon. We love you guys so much, and we will see you next week.
And splat.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.